Turkey's president cements his political and economic power, sending the lira lower. And while Norway braces for an oil strike, Guyana braces for an oil boom. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Royal Dutch Shell has closed one of its Norwegian oil fields after hundreds of workers went on strike over the loss of pensions. Norway produces nearly 2 million barrels a day. Hilde Marit Rist, leader of the union SAFE, says up to 1,500 workers could walk out by Sunday.
We are now shutting down the whole shelf. So in just a few days, they will really notice that this is not going to be so good for them. But we are prepared to hold out as long as it takes.
Alan Gelder, Vice President of Research at Wood Mackenzie, explains the wider impact Norway's strike could have on the oil market.
It could be quite significant. OPEC has been increasing output because you've seen dropping supplies from Venezuela, threat of drops from Iran. And so what they're trying to do is keep the market broadly in balance at a time when it's strong oil demand because it's the summer season and very high sort of refining runs. If Norwegian production was to disappear entirely, then that's very significant because we don't see OPEC having enough additional spare capacity to cover that loss. It's difficult to speculate, but it could certainly add a lot of upward price pressure because if there is little or no slack in the crude oil system, the only way to manage a balance is through high prices to suppress demand.
Alan Gelder, let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed. The UK's FTSE 100 is slightly higher despite turmoil in Prime Minister Theresa May's cabinet over Brexit strategy. The pound has stabilized after yesterday's weakness, helped by upbeat growth figures this morning. Now, in the 1920s, Turkey shed centuries of tradition to transform into a secular Western nation. Today, under Recep Tayyip Erdogan, an Islamist in power since 2003, it seems to be headed in a different direction. Last night, after he was sworn in, President Erdogan appointed his son-in-law as head of the economy ministry, sending the lira sharply lower. Yakov Arnoplin is an emerging market portfolio manager at PIMCO.
It's a bear market for the Turkish lira. It's a bull market for nepotism. We've seen it in other countries, alas, and now we're seeing it in Turkey. It's a concern for investors, not just the fact that there is a lack of relevant experience, but also the outgoing staff, such as Mehmet Şimşek, who was very experienced, very well known to the investor community, to the international investor community, is no longer in the cabinet.
And this is the former deputy prime minister.
Correct. So a lot to digest. We've already seen the market reaction. The lira sold off on the news of this cabinet appointment.
And not just changes within the cabinet, but total change to the independence of the central bank.
There was always some question around how independent the central bank truly was and how much pressure it fell under by the president. Now, one of the rules that was waived was the fact that deputy governors of central bank required 10 years of previous relevant experience. We shall see who will be the next appointee at the central bank and whether it's another sort of neophyte or someone else closely aligned with President Erdogan.
So what does all this mean then for not just investors, but for Turkey's economy?
The vast majority of the Turkish population believes that the lira weakness has nothing to do with economic policies, but rather with some sort of international Western conspiracy to topple President Erdogan. What's the direction for the economy? Well, everyone's going to question the fiscal spending, whether we'll see rational decision-making. Unfortunately, once again, it's just more continuation of President Erdogan asserting his power politically, economically, and doing so in the face of markets clearly trying to send a message. And the message is fiscal policy is too loose, there's too much credit in the system, they're prioritizing growth over everything, and he is indifferent to that.
Yakov Arnoplin. Now, picking up on oil again, Guyana is bracing for an oil boom. The journalist Manuela Andrioni has been investigating.
Guyana is a very small country of about 750,000 people, and its economy grows at around 3% a year. Guyana found around 3.2 billion barrels worth of oil in 2015. So this would mean Guyana's economy could probably start growing at around 20%.
20%? Wow. I mean, that's a little bit like winning the lottery. I mean, how much are they expecting to earn?
They're expecting to earn around $300 million a year. So that's around like a fourth of their budget already.
And what's all that money going to go for? You mentioned that it's a really small country and not a very big economy.
So that's the question. There's not a lot of planning going to where the money is actually going to be spent. But Guyana needs a lot of things. For example, the country can barely keep the capital city on electricity for 24 hours straight.
This idea of an oil curse, that must be something that people are talking about. What are the worries around the oil revenue?
What happens is that all the country's capacity is sucked by this industry. All the other parts of the economy stop having the resources to work, and the country becomes very dependent on that one thing and very dependent on the fluctuations of prices. So you see, for example, in Venezuela, the country's economy was based on oil, and when oil prices crashed, the country was in a very, very bad situation, didn't really have an alternative. The other concern, of course, is corruption, and Guyana doesn't have a lot of checks and balances to prevent or even discover it happening.
So if they're already concerned about the oil curse, what are they doing about it?
They are developing a petroleum commission bill to set the regulations for this oil industry, and is also setting a sovereign fund. But none of this is actually ready. And of course, there's also an election in 2020, when exactly the year when first oil is expected to come. And Guyana is a very divided country. It has two very powerful ethnic groups, the Indo-Guyanese and the Afro-Guyanese. So we are expecting a very heated election season.
Manuela Andreoni in Brazil and in London. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.